Right on Mark, a former NFL player, 7 years in the NFL. He is an NFL analyst, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. My man, Ross, what's going on? How are you?
I am doing fantastic, Jim. Thanks for having me. This is I love this week every year because it's like almost like a reunion. Yeah, because you only see these here.
Right.
Well, like all the different radio stations around here, even like you, I really only get a chance to see you guys once a year. So it's nice to say hello. I talk to you a couple times a year on the radio, so it's nice to actually see you guys in person.
That literally is the best thing about this. Not only do you have access, but you can connect in person where ordinarily you can't, so you're exactly right. That's what makes this great. Now, I want to talk about the matchup, Ross, in 1 second, but you are a legend on Twitter for your Tuck spreads. Videos of grub that is available in press boxes where you were working. You're a couple of days now into our time in Atlanta. What do you make of the food so far here, and did you get down on the sausage and egg sandos with grits?
Yeah, so far so good. So there's a couple things I like, Jim. I like variety and I like free. And so far everything's
free is
been
me,
free.
Ross, right?
Yes, free is for me. No, this morning they had these sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit sandwiches and cheese grits. So good. I'm from the Northeast, but my grandma grew up in Woodruff, South Carolina, and the grits were delicious. So I think that's one thing that the South does really, really well is like breakfast sandwiches and grits.
All right, then. What about the Super Bowl spread? What are you expecting on the biggest day on the biggest stage?
You know, I think it's going to be an awesome game. You know, everybody hates when the Patriots are in the Super Bowl game.
I don't care about the game. I mean the spread, man. The food. What kind of food are we talking about, Ross?
You know what? That's a good question. We'll see. I would expect him to step. I like the Jim asked me the questions I really want to answer. I like it. I thought you were going back into the football.
I mean, well, we'll get there eventually, I guess, if we have to. But
no, you know what? Let's see. I'm also big. I'll say this, Jim. Like when you go to Lambeau, they always have brats.
Right.
You know what I mean? A couple weeks ago, I was on the sideline.
So is that a good thing or a bad thing for you?
It's a good thing. No, they have other stuff, but they always have brats also. Right? So a couple weeks ago, I was in Kansas City. They had pulled chicken, like buffalo chicken. They had beans, burgers. But if you're in Kansas City, like you kind of want some barbecue.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Now, I don't know if they think guys went out to dinner the night before. They're going to go to dinner that night. So you don't want to over-barbecue them. But I'm big on what you're known for. Give it to us. I'm only in Kansas City once a year. Give me what you're known for. Give me what you're best at, you know?
You know, I do know. I can remember the first time that I went to Green Bay. It was back in 96. For the NFC Championship game, I had an appearance. I'd never done Lambeau, much less a Lambeau tailgate. And I want to make sure that I got all of that. So sure enough, it's 7 a.m. Here's Los Angeles-born Jim Rome in freezing weather, slamming PBRs and brats at 7 a.m. Man, it was so great. It lived up to all the hype. What are the best tailgates in the NFL right now? Now that you no longer play,
right?
I mean, you are working, but what's a really good NFL tailgate?
So I would tell you that Green Bay is pretty good.
Okay.
And what's crazy about Green Bay, and there's some other ones as well, Arrowhead, unbelievable. A couple weeks ago, those people were crazy.
Right.
I mean, it was freezing. By the end of that game, my fingertips were killing me, and they were all there hours before the game. They all put up those pop-up tents. And then they put things around it, and then they'll have the space heaters. So they were keeping the heat in. Like, they're pros in what to do
for
in
sure.
Cold weather like that.
Yeah, but what about the 3 hours of the game? You can't bring the tent inside with you.
No, but you know what? I don't feel bad for them because they're huddled with, like, 60, 70,000 other people.
Yeah, right.
I'm just the dope.
Big.
I'm just the dope standing there on the sideline by myself.
Right,
you know,
right.
If you're a player and you're inside the white lines, I feel like, as a human being, our survival instinct kicks in, and you might be, oh, I'm cold. And then you're lined up across from, like, Chris Jones, and you forget about how cold you are real quick. Like, you're much more worried about that 300-pound dude that's this far away from you. Meanwhile, if you're on the bench or you're on the sideline like I was, you're freezing. I had double gloves on, and my hands were still cold. People always say, who are you rooting for? I was rooting for anything other than overtime.
Exactly.
Anything
right.
Other than overtime. Although I felt bad for those Chiefs fans, man. 49 years. I don't know about you, Jim. I almost cheer for fans now. Like, I almost want the team that has the more deserving fans to win if I don't you know, have personal connections with players. I wanted the Chiefs to win. I wanted those people to be here and experience
it's
this.
It's really interesting you say that, Ross. As somebody who played in the NFL as long as you have, and who's got to be objective right now, who you're pulling for. I get this all the time. Hey, Rome, who do you want to win? I don't care. I really don't care. I mean this sincerely.
Right.
I do not care. I don't root for anything other than something to talk about.
Right.
That's it.
1,000%. I root for a great game.
Right.
Or, and in that case, if I'm on sideline, it's freezing. No overtime.
A short game.
That's short. Or you know what? If it's not going to be a great game, I want it to be a blowout so that all the people leave early and the traffic's not as bad after the game. You don't understand, Jim. It's about me, okay?
It's about you, Ross.
It's not about the game
about
or
you.
The people. It's about
me,
the traffic.
Me is free and it's about me. Ross, let me tell you something about you. And this is a high compliment. You are so good that you're so interesting. We could talk about nothing, and it's been one of the better interviews of the day. We haven't talked about anything yet, and it's almost over already. Let me talk to you about the offensive line. As a former offensive lineman, let's get into this for a minute. Tom Brady's dropped back 81 times in the last two games. He's been hit twice. He has not been sacked in the postseason. How much of that goes to the Patriots offensive line coach, Dante Scarnecchia?
A lot. I mean, I had 9 offensive line coaches, Jim, and Scar is the best one I had.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of reasons
that. Exactly. What separates him?
Well, he was in the Marines. He is very demanding. I mean, he will yell at you. It's almost like high school, the way he yells at you. But I'll say this. You know, the individual period at practice, by far, that's when it's just you and your position coach, by far the hardest of any team I was ever on. You feel like you're going to throw up. That's why you're always in good shape, mentally tough, physically tough. And I'll give you another one, okay? Most teams, when there's a special teams period, a lot of times the O-linemen get to chill during special teams. And, you know, you like that. You're like, oh, cool, we get to chill. Not in New England. You know what they do every special teams period?
Mm.
They practice screens.
Uh-huh.
So that's why they're so good at screens always. You go on a side field with Brady, some running backs. And by the way, screens are just more running for the offensive line.
Right.
More running. But you work on your timing over and over again to the point where there's nobody better. And that's why they'll have 3 awesome screens at least against the Rams, because they always do.
Ross Tucker joining us. You know, in a piece for The Athletic, you described Tom Brady as, quote, the single most determined, self-motivated, and hyper-competitive person I've ever met in my life. I mean, it's extremely high praise given the types of people that you know and have been around. What is it about him that makes him that way? And then how does that show up? What does that look like?
Well, a couple things, right? So I've been playing football since 6th grade, 18 years. When I got to New England, I was 25 years old. I had started 25 games or whatever already. I had never been around any quarterback at any level that took the snap as seriously as Brady.
Huh.
Before, every time he would call the play, Jim, and they make him do everything there, he would look in my eyes and say, all right, Ross, great snap, you and me first, great snap, you and me first. And then he'd turn to the guys and call the play. I mean, I was like 26, 27. In my head, Jim, I was like, okay, Tom, okay, like, it's going to be a great snap.
I was going to say, are you inspired by that, or is that exhausting? Is he just wearing you out?
No, inspired by it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in his mind, you can have a snap almost sounds like a clap, right? So if it's a okay clap, you can kind of hear it. But you know when your hands just come together well? That's what you want the sound to be like when you snap the ball to the top hand of the quarterback. He wanted that sound every time. Like, in his mind, a perfect snap gives him the best chance to have a perfect drop back, for the ball in his hands to be perfect, and to be able to make his read and throw it as fast as possible. Like
no detail is too small.
Right, like I never had another quarterback. The only other time quarterbacks would say something to you is if you mess up, like, Tuck, get your snaps up. Tuck, you were a little late on that one. Brady, he wants it to be perfect. I'll tell you now, do we have time for another
good
story?
Yes.
Okay, so I only hung out with him socially like 3 or 4 times, right? I was only there from December of 2005 to August of 2006. And I'll never forget December of 2005. I had just gotten there, and the guys were asking me what Buffalo was like, and I'm complimenting Drew Bledsoe. He was very generous to us, his Christmas gifts. You know, he even, you know, every time we'd go to a local dive bar in Buffalo and get Labatt Blue or whatever, Bledsoe would pay the tab. So I'm telling this story to a couple offensive linemen, and Brady's, like, sitting over there, and he doesn't look like he's listening, but I think maybe he is listening, right? Then fast forward to the next training camp. It's August. Belichick gives us a day off. So we all decide, okay, we're going to go to a barbecue joint and then opening night of Talladega Nights. I'll never forget it. We go to the barbecue joint. I get up. We're about to go to the movie. I get up to go pay my tab. Next thing I know, Brady's, like, running over at me. Ross, I got it. I got it. I'm like, Tom, it's $13. He's like, no, I'm paying. And I look at the guy behind the register, and he looks at me like, dude, he's going to kill you. Like, let him pay your $13 tab. I was like, okay. And now, no words were ever said. I am convinced to this day, and nobody will tell me different, that he remembered what I said about Bledsoe, and there was no way he was going to let Bledsoe have that edge on him of being a more generous quarterback for his O-lineman.
Yeah, that competitive.
And maybe not. Maybe he just really wanted to pay my tab that night.
Maybe so, though,
either
right?
Either way, the guy is a complete psycho, and I mean that as the biggest compliment ever. I mean, Jim, he's almost 42. He might win his sixth Super Bowl, and he says 0% he'll retire. Even just him saying that is a good indication of how much of a psycho he is.
Ross, I mean, I'm looking at the time frame we're talking about. You signed, as you mentioned, in December of 2005.
Yeah.
Right? Just over 13 years ago. How insane is it that we're talking about a guy who's not only still playing, but playing at this level 13 years later? And how does he look to you now as compared to how he looked when you played with him?
As good as he ever has. And I would even say, I think in some ways, the last couple of years, he almost moves better than he did when he was younger. I mean, he was a guy when he was younger, we would do agility drills, Jim, and he was not good to the point where guys would almost like laugh about it, right? And he'd be like, no, I'm doing it over again. I'm doing it again. To put it in perspective, okay, the average career is like 3.5 years.
Sure.
I came in 2001, which was Tom's second year. I am very proud of my journeyman, whatever, 7-year career. Retired in 2008. It's 11 years later,
right,
and he's still playing. It's 11 years later, and the guy is still playing and doesn't sound like he ever wants to stop. It's crazy.
Still playing and still playing at an MVP level. Ross, what is myfrontpagestory.com?
Okay, so I just invested in this company. It's a couple of writers from back where I'm from in Pennsylvania. They will write a story, Jim, and you'll appreciate this because you love to read, about anything you want. So my sister and I got one from my mom for Mother's Day. So you talk to the reporter, 10 minutes for me, 10 minutes for my sister. They write an awesome story about my mom. They send it to you. You print it out, frame it, gave it to my mom. She bawled.
Dude.
She bawled. She was like,
I like that.
I mean, and so I'm telling guys since I've been here, Valentine's Day. Instead of getting flowers or chocolate or something, you don't even have to write the story. You just, while you're driving to Chipotle or something, talk to the reporter for 8 minutes.
Do you give it to your mom or your significant other and act like you wrote it yourself?
No. It says the name of the guy
okay.
that wrote it. What you
a
say
guy's
is,
got a byline.
No. What you say is you say, honey, I just want to do something really special for you this year. I got this story written about you. Can you imagine giving your wife, I got a story written about you? And then she reads quotes where you say, I just appreciate how she takes care of the boys. You know, when I'm traveling, when I'm doing things, I don't tell her that enough. I guarantee your wife cries, and I guarantee it's the best Valentine's Day gift you ever gave her.
I love it. So how do they get more information?
MyFrontPageStory.com. It's awesome.
MyFrontPageStory.com. He is Ross Tucker. Ross, you're awesome. So good to get caught up, man, as always. And I say this not in any way to be patronizing. I am really proud of you. You are doing amazing work and really, really good things with your career.
Thank you. And you know this, but you saw it before anybody else did, and that meant a lot.
My man.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Ross Tucker is as good as you will find on the row.